Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is. Damn, what day is it? Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. July 27th. Welcome to Menace to Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host, with my co-host Chris Drew. It is Big Ten. It's really conference media day time of year, which is the time of year where players say stupid shit, coaches say stupid shit, and it gets put on bulletin boards, at least in a fan's mind. It's going on the bulletin board, and that team is going to be angry, pissed off, and that's why we're going to win by 30. And to stay on brand, Jim Harbaugh and his team just can't shut the fuck up. They just can't. I get it. They won a big game. They haven't beat Ohio State in so long. It's like when you're a virgin and the first time you have sex, you just can't shut up about it. Like you just, it was the best thing that ever happened, right? But for some reason, they can't act like they've been there before. And they can't stop talking about it. So we're going to talk about that, Michigan and all of their comments at Big Ten Media Day. Obviously, Ryan Day goes on today at 1:30. And I'm sure you will get a bunch of coach speak and very little to no bulletin board material. Got to talk about that. Also, Caleb Downs is committing at, I think, 1 o'clock, right, Chris?
Yeah, but it'll be at 1 o'clock, so it'll be right near the end of our show.
Right near the end of the show. Caleb Downs will be committing. I'm going to talk. I studied his film. And from what I hear, he's going to Bama. So it doesn't matter. He's a really good football player. So I'm going to talk about Caleb Downs, what I think of him as a player. Maybe I'll talk a little shit about him so we can – maybe he'll be a Buckeye, a Brandon Ennis style. They're not Brandon Ennis, Carnell Tate style.
Yeah, Carnell
Tate. Maybe he'll become a Buckeye if I talk shit about him. So Buckeye fans, I got you. I'm going to talk shit about a kid and make him feel bad so that he comes to Ohio State. You're welcome. And a bunch of other shit to talk about. Chris wrote a million things on this show notes. So we will get to all of that. We were going to put the video in here. We might put out a Caleb Downs breakdown this afternoon. We're going to work on that. But if not, I'll still give you my thoughts. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. Someone in here, my guy Chris, you know, said that Chris for intern of the month of July, or does it go to someone else? Zach, can I win intern of the month for July?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Our bankroll baddie has been my intern of the month every month. So that's a tough spot to take, Chris, especially Respect. With one eyebrow and wearing a beanie in the summer. I know your HR told me it's not allowed to be about appearance, but appearance plays a big part. HR can fuck themselves. I will fight that lawsuit if I have to. So sorry, Chris. I don't think you're going to get it this month.
I accidentally walked around without the beanie or the bandit over the eyebrow. I got some brown dades over it too. So, you know, we're pretty covered up.
Like you realize with that bandaid on, it looks similar to just having a shaved eyebrow.
I mean, it is. But also, like, when people look,
take the bandaid off.
Because when people look closely, it's like, oh, he got in a fight. He's a tough guy. You know, it's
or
like,
you got your ass kicked and you're a pussy.
But like, you should see the other guy.
You know? Oh, yeah. That's what everyone says, right? Yeah. That's what everyone says. So, what do you got for me, Chris? How about this? What you wanted to start the show with? Matt Corral, Ole Miss's crown jewel, pride and joy, right? Made it to the NFL, although he's not rated very highly by Madden. He pops off and says he regretted picking Ole Miss. Why would he say that?
I don't know. I have no clue. He went on to say he wanted a school that would have made him compete. I mean, so he was a top 100 kid, did well at the Elite 11, and I think Ole Miss guaranteed him a job. Like, hey, you're going to start for us. Like, just get in there. You know, here's a plan. You'll be good. And he went for it because playing time is one of the easier pitches, especially in the non-NIL era.
Yeah.
But it's like his
It doesn't make a lot of sense because the kid went to Ole Miss, had a great career, got drafted high. Now he's in the NFL. And it's just a bizarre move for a kid to shit on his former coach and former school like that. Like, he should have picked somewhere that was more competitive. He shouldn't have went to Ole Miss. Like, basically shit on everything that Ole Miss can sell out of the career that was Matt Corral. It doesn't make any sense. I've never had a player do that to me. Go to the NFL and be like, damn, I should have played for a different coach. Like, right. Or I should have went to a different school. It's going to be hard for that kid to go back to Ole Miss after this because fans and the coaches and the current players, they're going to look at him like, hey, fuck you, bro. Like, shouldn't have come here, shouldn't have played here. Like, Ole Miss put Matt Corral on. And I hate to break it to you. He was a good player, not a great player. If he'd have went somewhere else, his ass might not have played. Mm-hmm. Then he wouldn't have got drafted. So it's just a bitch move by him to shit on Lane Kiffin and shit on that program. And it's going to hurt them in recruiting. I mean, if I'm recruiting a quarterback against Ole Miss, I'm gonna be like, what? Their pride and joy says he regrets going there. Why would you make the same mistake? Their pride and joy. Their
crown jewel. Their example. Jewel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their example is saying he regrets it. Why would you make a decision that you too will regret? I would absolutely be using that. That's going to kill them in recruiting quarterbacks. And just, I mean,
it's a complete opposite of some other guys. Like if Joe Burrow came out and said, I should have never went to Ohio State. I should have went to LSU all the way. Like I could understand that. And like, you know, it would hurt, but I would be okay with it. But this kid started his career and ended his career, was maximized by Lane Kiffin, put up some unreal numbers and got drafted. He's in the league.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Like you said, Joe Burrow has a reason. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say anything but positive things about Ohio State, but his career did not go as planned at Ohio State, and he had to transfer and ended up being a great player elsewhere. So that would make sense, at least. Matt Corral makes no sense.
No, none at all. So like you mentioned earlier, Caleb Downs, number one safety in the country, is committing right around 1 o'clock today. Dog, we've been getting stuffed in lockers, and I will have a locker breakdown coming up a little bit later from a certain visit that Ohio State had. Kasai, my guy from the Twitter spaces, I'm growing up in that world too. So I don't know. He thinks locker boy season ended, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Zach, our boy, big Jim Harbaugh, big talking, is becoming, to me at least, the villain of the Big Ten. And I'm 100% here for it. He had a lot to say, man. He was asked about Ryan Day's, you know, comments about needing $13 million for a current roster spot. He said, basically, oh, that sounds cute. We could probably double that, though, which odd. Okay. This is different than a month ago when he was saying we're going to sell the Michigan experience. But he seems so committed to make this a rivalry and get as much out there as he can and really true disdain for Ohio State and Ryan Day. And Zach, I'm here for it.
He's like a Twitter troll, right? Never been in a fight in his life. And he's trying to talk trash, and it just sounds awkward and nerdy. Like, this guy legitimately is so out of touch when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to anything. Really, other than being weird. And he sits there and forever. I mean, they've done nothing with NIL. Their NIL collectives and their momentum in the NIL space is horrid. Horrid, so much so you put them in here. Their class is ranked 37th in the country behind Arizona, Virginia Tech, and Pitt right now. And he's going to sit here and talk about it's going in a terrific direction. Like, bitch, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a fucking dumpster fire right now. And then to say, oh, we could probably double that. This man a month ago was saying, we're not going to get into the NIL stuff because Michigan is different. The Michigan man experience sells Michigan to recruits better than any NIL deal out there. And now he's going to say they can raise double that? If Michigan raises $26 million for a quarterback, I will wear a Michigan shirt every show for the rest of my life. It's never going to fucking happen. And that's what I mean. He's spewing bullshit out of his mouth. And you're looking at him like, This is not helping your cause. Everyone always already thinks you have fumbled the bag and ruined and screwed up everything coming off the momentum of last season. And now to be spewing this nonsense out of your mouth, you already don't have credibility, and your credibility is amazingly going lower. I didn't think it was possible, but as every time he speaks, he loses a little bit of credibility. It's about here's a state of the Michigan Union to Jim Harbaugh. Stop being full of shit, stop talking, and let action speak, right? They did it on the field last year. They let their play speak for themselves. When it comes to recruiting, NIL, shut the fuck up and prove it. Go get one of the 55 five-stars in the state of Michigan that you lost this year. Go get one of them, right? Let's see some rumors about Michigan boosters offering crazy NIL deals to recruits. Let's hear some smoke. Let's see some smoke, and because then maybe there'll be some fire. You can't just speak this shit into existence. You have to act. You have to do it. And Jim Harbaugh is just, not only is he not doing it, but he's just being a phony.
It's crazy because it's quite frank. It's super phony because, you know, to say that the NIL is rolling really well, okay, I get you have to say it. But Zach, it's so easy to see through because in a vacuum, success, which you just had a great season. You just made the playoffs. You just beat your rivals. You know, everybody knows it. We saw it. That plus NIL stuff should equal recruiting success.
Yeah, it should.
But yet, like, as Ohio State fans, we're panicking because, you know, we struggle with on the defensive side, we're getting stuffed in lockers. Michigan's getting stuffed in lockers by everybody. I mean, the recruiting class is number 37 behind Arizona, Virginia Tech, and Pittsburgh. They have 6 3 stars, Zach.
They've slightly edged out Wake Forest in recruiting this year. So just great job, Jim. Jim, big Jim. Good job, man. It's funny. I think the funniest part about it is that Jim Harbaugh 100% got stuffed in lockers in real life. Mm-hmm. Like this is not just something that is happening, you know, theoretically or right now in make believe,
right? No, it's
not just something. It's not a phrase that people are saying. Like, he literally probably got stuffed in lockers in high school. Like, when he was younger, he was a great football player. So maybe by the end, you know, they had a little respect for him. But his freshman year, Jim Harbaugh 100% got stuffed in lockers. It's just the truth of the matter.
it's absurd, and it's crazy because, like, for me, Zach, I don't know about you, but how many times do you have to beat your rival for you to be this loud? Like, if I'm playing someone in basketball and I lose to them 9 times and I beat them the last time right before we leave the gym, you think I'm going to go around telling people, oh, yeah? Nah, fuck buddy up. Like, buddy could check me. I was giving him buckets, this. I knew what was happening. I would back him down. Or would you expect him to be like, damn, let me go get better and let me get the next one after this?
Well, here's the thing, right? If you beat him 9 times out of 10, you're not going to run your mouth. Mm-hmm. Because the only people that run their mouth are full of shit. It's false bravado, right? It's fake. It's phony. You never heard Ohio State running their mouth about how bad Michigan was, even when they beat the brakes off of them. You never heard it. Because if you're a really, really good basketball player, you don't have to talk shit on the court. You just drop buckets, and the buckets speak for you. All this talk is showing that glass house they live in, because they know this might be our one opportunity to enjoy it. So let's run with it. And that's the reality. And to be honest with you, I think they're going to be a decent team this year. So this is not even shitting on Michigan. It's just their actions are screaming very loud, speaking volumes to the fact that they're not about this life. They're not about trying to be a dominant team in the Big Ten. They took their one shot. They landed it like Buster Douglas on Mike Tyson, the one fight he ever won. And now they're like, that's it. We're going to ride that win forever and never shut up about it.
I want to compare it to something else that happened before, Zach, and see if you can remember anything that was said. Ohio State's boogeyman was Clemson. Yeah. Ryan Day went in and took care of the boogeyman. Do you have any sound bites, any recollection of anything he said about Dabo Swinney, who is so easy to make fun of and you can say so much shit about? Did he say anything soundbiteable? Is there anything?
And to the same point, no, he didn't. And to the same point, who had the sound bites going into that playoff? Dabo Sweeney, talking about, you know, he ranked Ohio State 7th or whatever he did. He was the one that was making these statements and saying these things and ranking Ohio State low because they hadn't played anybody and all this other bullshit. And it's like, yeah, because he's living in a glass house. He knows his foundation is built on sand that in this, you know, in the current moment. Mm-hmm. And so he was popping off for no fucking reason. And so you knew this guy he's being phony. Yeah. Ohio State is going to beat that ass. That's what's going to happen. And that's what's happening in Michigan right now.
It's just interesting because, like, you and I have talked about our hope for Ryan Day to enter the elite of the elites in head coaches. And when you look at the elite of the elite of head coaches, Nick Saban doesn't run his mouth. Kirby Smart, I don't recall him running his mouth. I mean, Jimbo Fisher runs his mouth every now and again. They were 8-4 last year. You know, Mario Cristobal doesn't run his mouth. He beat Ohio State. Quiet. And so I think that kind of importance and professionalism and square jawedness, you need it to you to be a big time head coach. Ryan Day has it. Harbaugh doesn't. Now we lost to them, so we got to take it and enjoy it. And I think it's awesome. I think it's great for football and great for media day that Jim Harbaugh truly, or maybe not truly believes, but believes enough to fucking get up in front of a microphone, pull his pants down and let his ass talk. I like that. That makes me feel good. That makes me that entertains me. And now his players, Zach, are starting to believe it because they're getting up there, pulling their pants down and talking out of their ass too.
Well, and you know what? It's a lot like, speaking of Jimbo and Nick Saban, I was talking to an Alabama fan yesterday. My son was at a high school football camp and there was an Alabama fan there. We were just talking about football and we started talking about the Jimbo, Nick Saban back and forth. And he was like, as a Bama fan, when Saban first said something, Jimbo responded. As a Bama fan, you're like, damn, like Jimbo just made Nick look like a fucking idiot, right? He said, but then Jimbo wouldn't shut up. He kept going, kept whining. And now Jimbo looks like the whiny bitch, even though Nick Saban started it all, caused it all. And it's because that's the character. And like you, to your point, the type of coaches they are. Jimbo is a whiny little bitch. Nick Saban's not. He said something maybe thought in private and it got out public and it made him look like a complainer. But he's not out there in every press conference like Jim Harbaugh talking about everything in the world, just running his mouth incessantly.
Now, before I move on to Cade McNamara, I do want to say ask you about this, the one comment, Zach. They asked Jim Harbaugh, point blank, was the born on third base comment about Ryan Day?
This is where you lose all credibility. Like, you're going to talk shit, boy, you better back that up. Have a spine, have a nutsack, throw them on the table and show everybody their brass balls, right? if that's your move, that's your move. Don't be a bitch and back down. Mm-hmm. They asked about the comments and he said, no comment. Like, no. You were feeling all type of way after you beat Ryan Day in Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You felt like you could say he woke up on third base, which, hey, by the way, he kind of did. Facts. You weren't wrong. Mm-hmm. But now you're a pussy because you didn't back up your statements. You could, and it could have been as simple as like, you guys know who I was talking about or something, right. Something to back it up. But no comment. You just showed everybody the gash between your legs.
Yeah. In fact, look, to say no comment when somebody asks you about your own comment, that's some bitch shit.
Like, you already made a comment. You can't no comment about a comment. You made the comment. You can't
comment. Comment straight up.
You already made the comment. There's no, you can't put the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube. Like, you can't do it. What do you mean no comment? You made the comment, Jim.
No comment is reserved for this kid got suspended for what reason? No comment.
And no comment is reserved for, like, if they asked, if he never said anything, and they said, do you feel like Ryan Day woke up on third base? He could say no comment. Like, and that implies he thinks so, but he doesn't want to go down that path. Jim, you already went down that path. You can't no comment now. You just can't. Well, I mean, you can't. And then you look like a pussy.
I love it. The energy is absolutely incredible. I want to talk about Cade McNamara. Then I want to get a couple super chats up there. So if you have more super chat questions, just keep tossing them in. We'll do them all in a row. Cade McNamara, who we don't even know if he's going to be a starting quarterback, Zach.
That would be got the up there. Thing.
Oh, got up there. We don't even know if he's going to be. Yeah, we don't know if he's going to be starting quarterback. He's in a battle right now for it. Got up there and said, honestly, we were kind of surprised by the gap. And I was kind of surprised about how out of hand it got. Zach, Jim Harbaugh has these kids believing in something, and they're getting up at media day knowing these are going to be sound bites, and they're delivering them anyway.
Here's the problem, Chris, and this is for the Michigan fans that are, I see them in the chat, and this might piss Ohio State football fans off, but he wasn't wrong. Mm-mm. If you watch that game, I would have been surprised if I was surprised. I didn't. I was worried that Ohio State might lose, but I was surprised that the gap looked the way it looked. I was surprised at how they manhandled Ohio State. For him to say I was surprised by that, that's almost a statement of respect, because he's speaking factually. They did manhandle Ohio State. There was a major gap, and they were surprised in that because they didn't expect that out of Ohio State. That's more a statement of respect than it is of disrespect, the way I looked at it. Like, he wasn't wrong, and it was respectful.
Mm-hmm. He did have to keep it going. I loved it. He said, it's just that we're expecting to do that this year, and then we're going to be doing the same exact thing next year is what we're thinking.
It's just confidence now. They've tasted victory. They've seen that they can play with Ohio State. Not only that, last year, they really beat Ohio State soundly. So now he's saying that's the expectation, to do that year in, year out. I had no problems with his comments at all. Now, to your point, if I'm the head coach at Michigan, I don't think Cade McNamara is going to be my starter come fall. So, and you know, hopefully he enjoys the backup role in the transfer portal, because I think JJ McCarthy is going to be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I would expect too. It is fun though. I like it. Like, the energy we're getting around Michigan players. And then the one kid said that Ohio State, you know, recruited him out of high school. I don't even know the kid's name.
Eric All.
Yeah, so that Ohio State recruited him out of high school, never offered him, but it's cool. He didn't want to go there anyway. I thought it was funny. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Good for you. No, it happens to a lot of kids. You didn't get offered and you didn't want to go there. No shit. Guess what? When you don't get offered, you don't want to go somewhere. That's not that fucking earth-shattering.
Facts. No, I'm a fan, and I like this new persona that Michigan is kind of taking. It's like very like revenge tour-y, the way they're kind of being really, really loud. And I love it. I think it's good for the Big Ten. I hope they have a good season. And I hope their good season comes to a halt in Columbus. So as an Ohio State fan,
that's the thing, right? As much as you want to talk, you just have to back it up.
You have to do
it. I'm more a fan of keeping your mouth shut and just showing everybody on the field every time you take the field on Saturdays. But
yeah,
you want to talk, you better back it up.
Zach, you're like a square-jawed coach. I'm in the entertainment industry. Like, this shit is funny to me. So, want to throw this up there. Our guy Tyler, thanks for the super chat. Hey, guys, wanted to ask about the 2015 team. When Braxton lined up at QB, why did we run it 100% of the time and never mix it up to throw it? Was his shoulder hurt that bad, or was it lack of creativity by Ed?
So, it's a great question. And obviously, I coached Braxton that year, and we tried. I mean, I put in so many, like, just simple little like wildcat, play action, little flat routes, like dump throws. And we would put him in, like Urban would talk to him. I would talk to him. He'd be on board. Like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, it's going to be wide open because the people don't think you'll throw it. And we were getting practice and he would just like flick his wrist. Like he wouldn't throw it. And I'm like, Prax, what? He's like, I'm going to do it in a game. I don't want to risk it. And you know, I had several meetings with Urban about it because if he doesn't want to risk it, you don't want the only time he's thrown since before, like since he got his first shoulder surgery to be under the bright lights in a game. Like you got to do it at least a couple times in practice. Now we weren't asking him to do full field reads and all this, you know, shit he did when he played quarterback, but you got to throw a 15 yard pass live in practice before we do it in a game. So we tried, we put it in. And ultimately the kid was nervous as shit. That he had just like PTSD flashbacks from the throw he made in training camp where he re-injured his shoulder. And he's like, if I do it now, this is my last year. If I injure it again, I'm not going to the NFL. I have no shot of playing football. And so he didn't want to risk it. And I don't blame him, but we tried. We tried like hell. And it had nothing to do with Ed. Urban and I really handled the Braxton package. Ed didn't even fucking know what it was. So and we tried. I mean, we really tried.
Shout out to our guy Michael for the 5. Chris really rocking the beanie in 80-degree weather. I absolutely fucking am. I absolutely am.
Because Chris, as he told me before the show, is a legend in Akron. He's a 10, he said. I'm a 6.5 in Columbus, but in Akron, I'm a 10.
I am.
So he can rock a beanie. And apparently all of Akron will be wearing beanies soon because he's such an influencer, trendsetter, and icon of the 330.
We're called the Beanie Boys. I got 3 people waiting outside with their beanies on, ready to just mob with me outside.
Sound like the Backstreet Boys. All y'all going to be gay.
It's the Black Backstreet Boys because it's Black History Year. We're tired of just 1 month. We need the whole year. Need the whole year, damn it. Does Ryan Day try to absolutely embarrass Michigan? Zach, do you expect him to try to go in there and just like run it up, go for two, leave CJ for a long time and risk injury?
We've talked about it a lot about players, but it goes to head coaches too. In games like this, the rivalry game, right? Careers are made and legends are born. And Ryan Day has such a chip on his shoulder. He's so pissed off right now. One, that they lost the game. Two, that Michigan's running their mouth. That this is going to be an iconic moment in the Ryan Day tenure at Ohio State. A lot like when Woody Hayes went for two when he was up for no reason. When they asked him about why he went for two, he said, because we couldn't go for three. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something like that. I talk about all the time the Florida-Georgia game. The year after Georgia stormed the field, Urban Meyer's, we're up 20. He's calling timeouts with 3 minutes left, and we have the ball just to keep running plays and to extend the ass whooping a little bit longer to kind of give a fuck you to Mark Richt in Georgia. That something like that is going to happen with Ryan. He is going to do something. If they manage to beat that ass, like I think they have a chance to do, he's going to do something that people talk about for a long time.
Was it Urban Meyer that sent the whole team out to celebrate after the first touchdown also in a game? Was that a different coach?
Not Kirby Smart. That was Mark Richt in Georgia. They scored. We had beaten Georgia, I think, that was 2007. So we beat them in 2005, beat them in 2006. And you could tell we were owning that ass. And so he made a point that when they scored the first touchdown, he said, I want everyone on the field celebrating. The whole team ran on the field and celebrated. And two things. One, they all should have been ejected because you can't leave the sideline or you get ejected. And that would have been fucking hilarious. The only players that would have remained allowed on the field to play was the extra point team because that's the only people who were running on the field legitimately. So everyone else should have been ejected, would have been hilarious. And two, you watch that Florida defense, nobody did shit about it. They just walked off the field, tails between their legs, just stood there and watched it happen. I mean, it was a window into the state of that football team, just a soft ass front running football team. And that next year, it was a different team.
Different team.
Different team. Guys.
Did Urban hate Rick? Did he hate him really, like behind the scenes, or was it kind of
It's hard to hate Mark Richt, like very Christian guy, like great dude. Like he didn't hate him. Now
he felt like the anti Urban Meyer is
because Urban Satan. No, I mean he didn't love Urban. He had a disdain for Georgia because of the rivalry and because of what that meant, right? You had to beat Georgia or else you probably weren't going to Atlanta, going to the SEC championship. So there was a level of competitiveness that created a slight disdain, but he didn't dislike Mark Richt. Mark Richt's a tough guy to dislike.
Yeah, facts. That's why I peeled it off for my guy Jacob to show the quick little eyebrow. I got to keep it covered up, man. I gotta keep it up. Let's see the people's eyebrow. Let it out. He's asleep right now. He's in there. He's in there chilling. Are there any words ever said between Ohio State and UM players on media days from our guy Michael?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've never been to media days. Not that I've ever heard of. I mean, they kind of keep them all regimented into their windows. Like, for instance, Michigan went yesterday and now Ohio State's going today. So I don't know how much crossover there is, but there's not usually a lot of words. Most of the time you're only there to go to this interview. It's all scheduled and then you get out of there. Like it's not something where you could go to a luncheon and hang out and maybe play nine holes. Like you don't spend time together. You really get in, get out, fulfill your obligations and go home. So not that I've ever heard of.
How much for Zach? Shout out to my guy, world-class athlete for the five. How much for Zach to throw a grown man, old Western style, long mustache and rock up for the length of time it takes Chris to grow his eyebrow back? Guys, I love these. These are awesome. But at some point, Zach and I are going to have to make appearances somewhere and we can't be looking fucking crazy.
I mean, it would cost a lot of money. It would cost a lot of money. Hey, you guys super chat it up, and if it gets high enough, we'll talk about it.
We'll chat. That's a great answer. Non-committal. What was the beef between Urban and Randy Shannon? Thanks for our guy, again, Rob.
There wasn't really a real beef. When Urban came into the state of Florida, you had Larry Coker and Bobby Bowden at the two other big schools, and they were old, didn't work hard in recruiting. So Urban was just beating their ass in his sleep. And when Randy Shannon got hired, you had a young minority guy, you know, Miami ties. And so it became a little competitive in recruiting. Like you couldn't just go down to South Florida and take kids from Miami. He did a good job in recruiting. So they had a little beef because, you know, Randy Shannon would talk shit about Urban to recruits and, you know, negative recruiting and that kind of stuff, but nothing real.
I'll never forget when you guys played Cincinnati on the TV broadcast, they called Tommy Tuberville Urban Meyer's rival, and I loved it. I was like, what? Yeah, that was actually
media at its finest.
Yeah, quite a time as well. All right, Zach, I do want to stay on the conversation of hate really quickly. Who do you think dislikes Jim Harbaugh more, Ryan Day or Urban Meyer?
Well, Ryan Day. I mean, Jim Harbaugh beat him.
Mm-hmm. It's hard even to hate before a guy. It just felt like there was more hatred from Ryan towards Harbaugh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would say it's pretty equal until Ryan lost to Jim. Because it's hard to hate a guy that you just beat his ass. Like you can dislike a guy. You might think you hate a guy, but you get in seven fights with him and beat his ass all seven times. It's hard to hate him because it's like what would I hate him for? What's he? I'm going to go fight him again. Like I'll beat his ass again. Why would I? So that hate goes down every time you connect that right hook on a football field. And so right now, Ryan's, I mean, he's got, and all, further to the point, Jim Harbaugh could never say shit about Urban. Urban beat his ass in recruiting, on the field, everything. Like, what's he going to say? He can't go to media days and talk shit about Urban.
No, I got you. But I just want to reiterate again. I love this so much. I know my mom loves it. She went to Michigan. Like I am 100% here for these like little jabs, and I hope Ohio State players get a little bit petty also the closer we get, because I'm all in for it. I want screenshots of everything put up after the win. I want all of that. Zach, some conference realignment news that we are going to talk about really brief, maybe not really briefly, but fun. Because a while ago, you asked me what are the teams on my wish list, and I threw out Miami. Now there's a report after media day, so everyone's around the commission, everyone's around everybody, digging for information on conference expansion, because that is what the big, you know, what the big journalist guys like to go after. So there's a report that in addition to Notre Dame, the Big Ten is trying to target Miami, Florida State, Washington, Oregon, Cal and Stanford as the next group of teams they take. This means two things, and I'll let you kind of sit in and give your thoughts first.
First of all, I don't know who the fuck made this rumor, but and bookmark this fucking statement. There's no chance in hell Florida State joins the Big Ten. because every school you just mentioned, it's like, which one of these is not like the other, right? Florida State is a horrific academic school. And that's the Big Ten's biggest thing, right? The Big Ten didn't entertain Oklahoma and Texas. Massive hauls when it comes to TV money, on-field performance, everything. Brand. They didn't entertain them because of academic prowess. And you think they're going to bring in fucking Florida State? There's not a cold chance in hell that they're bringing in Florida State, first and foremost. Now, further to the point, I mean, I think Washington, Oregon, Cal, and Stanford, those all make sense. Cal's one I would not consider, but the other three, maybe. Stanford's the other one. I get the academic prowess, but we don't need a Vanderbilt, another Northwestern, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they are. But if you want to for the academics, go ahead, right? Miami, I had a Miami fan kind of going back and forth with me on how it is definitely a fit. And I know it is academically and the school, but just culturally, it's not
a fit culturally, but I would love it.
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely be here for it, but Miami just feels like an SEC team on the field. Mm-hmm. They just do it. Just I don't even know how to explain it other than I don't see Miami being a fit in the Big Ten. But if the Big Ten did pursue it and Miami wanted to, I think it would be a great addition for the Big Ten. But I feel like they're trending SEC more than they're trending Big Ten.
Yeah, now that's fair. Now, I want to stay on Miami just for a quick little second because they do feel like an SEC team. And before you get schools like Miami, it feels like it's going to be North versus South. I want Miami because I think Miami in the Big Ten is huge because what I talked about yesterday. In the Big Ten, the top three programs don't have the top three coaches. I think that's an issue and an initial gap between the SEC and the Big Ten. I think if you add Miami to the Big Ten and USC to the Big Ten, at that point now, the three best schools have the three best coaches. And then if Notre Dame comes, the four best programs now have the four best coaches, and that's how you compete. The reason the SEC has been able to win multiple national titles with different teams is because coaches are there to maximize schools that benefit from being maximized.
Like Chris, I can tell you work in the media. I can tell. Because we just classified Marcus Freeman as one of the best coaches, and the guy has never won anything yet.
Damn it.
I mean, he hasn't, right? He was a defensive coordinator that had solid defenses when Luke Fickell was running the defense. He went to Notre Dame, had an above-average defense, got the Notre Dame job, and has done well in recruiting. Nothing that has happened in his career indicates he's going to be a great head coach. And I'm not saying he's not going to be, but we're not going to fucking crown that guy and put him on a throne yet. He's got to win something. I got to see his team play and see if they're any good.
That's fair.
To your point, ESPN will absolutely agree with you that those four sexy names and big names, they are now at the four best teams. Yes, that is true.
Okay, well, even if it's just the top three, it's still comfortable, and I trust it. And additionally, what that would do is that would put so much more pressure on Penn State to not just fall, because right now Penn State is a B-tier Big Ten team. I think they're kind of A-tier, but they're kind of fringing on B-tier.
Oh, no, they're every way, shape, or form a B-tier team.
That would put a lot of pressure on them because B-tier in the Big Ten, you can still make it to a Big Ten title every now and again. But if those other teams enter, you have to elevate. Like, you simply have to elevate to get there. And so I do think that's important. And the way you're going to catch the SEC is going to be with coaching improvement, the money, and you have to really commit to wanting to be a football school. Having Mario Cristobal in the Big Ten would be huge for that because his ability to recruit, you know, the buy-in from everybody and having the South. I love it. And I think it'd be good for bowl season as well outside of the playoff.
Listen, there's no secret how to fucking do this. And I don't know why people act like it's so hard. You have to recruit at an elite level. Penn State has never been a top four, top three recruiting class ever. So why we would ever think that they could push to become a class A program on the national landscape is fucking idiotic, right? Yeah. Same with Michigan. Never going to happen. Not the way they're recruiting. Ohio State does. Notre Dame right now is pushing that direction, right? USC is pushing that direction. Texas A&M, there's programs that you say, you know what? If they keep doing this in the recruiting trail, there's a chance they could push to that A tier of college football programs. Penn State is so fucking far away. You need a telescope to see how close they are to the A tier.
Well, and that's fine. And like, that's good if the other schools are coming, because obviously you don't want a team that's a B tier team to ever win your conference.
No.
Like Michigan is is teetering on that, and but they win the conference. Like, you don't want that for the conference. It's not good for the conference, because then you get to the playoff and get embarrassed. Michigan State, when they made it to the playoff, same deal. Like, they were
what in do you mean? B-tier. Just look at Clemson and the ACC. Pitt wins the ACC and gets beat by fucking Michigan State.
Exactly.
Like, what are we talking about? It's a bad look for the conference.
Mm-hmm. It's a terrible look for the conference, and it makes it easier for everyone else to whip their dicks out and piss on it, because it looks very, very bad. Ooh, yeah. A good question on our guy Fickle. Paul Moss, thank you for the 10. Could you see Fickle or Freeman ever taking the UM job if it opens up?
No. I honestly couldn't. I don't think Luke Fickle would ever take that job. And I think Marcus Freeman would have, but he's not going to leave Notre Dame for Michigan. So no. But to his point, I think Marcus Freeman, not that he's not as big of a Buckeye, but you can kind of see that in the comments he's made about Ohio State, backhanded things he said. Mm-hmm. Luke Fickle like bleeds scarlet and gray. And it's not just because he played there. He coached there for fucking ever. Mm-hmm. Right? So for him to take the Michigan job, like, that would go against everything he's known for, like, 30 of his 48 years, however old he is. Like, there's no chance. Marcus Freeman, right. He played there, and that means something. But he's also coached at a bunch of other places now, and Ohio State is just a program to him, albeit his alma mater. But it wouldn't be as hard for him to get over if Michigan called him up with a big bag. So I don't think he leaves Notre Dame for Michigan ever. But I don't think Luke ever even considers that job.
I do want to thank Jesse for throwing in the 5 with no question. What a kind-hearted soul. I do want to stay on the Big Ten expansion for a little bit. If that is true, Zach, does it just speak to the lack of foresight from Kevin Warren, the fact that he's considering now Michigan State, who didn't Mia Khalifa get accepted there and do really well? I'm sure she's a brilliant.
She did really well.
She did really well. Brilliant
woman. She built her brand.
Yeah, no, she built her brand, film school.
I don't even know if she went there. I'd imagine she did, because she's a huge Florida State fan. No, I remember
she went there. I researched it.
Oh, there you go. She went to, I didn't know that she was a college student.
It was post-grad. Considering
her expertise is outside of academia. But I do remember when she was sliding in Braxton Miller's DMs when it was rumored that he was going to transfer, trying to convince him to come to Florida State. Him and I have talked about that several times, which was interesting. But yeah, this is another... I won't say this is an epic failure by Kevin Warren. It is actually, if it's true, it is a better proactive move to try to be courting these teams now. I mean, I don't know why that's something to applaud. Like, with the landscape as being what it is today, having changed so much, I don't know that even the most incompetent person wouldn't be doing this. So I don't know that I can champion him for trying with these schools. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that is evident is if they truly are in talks with Florida State, this is a huge blemish on Kevin Warren's leadership through this transition, because if they turned down Texas and Oklahoma and now, whatever it is, 6 months later, are going to entertain Florida State, that's a fucking F-. Major failure. You could have entertained two massive programs, and now you're going to get Florida State.
Yeah, like, it does feel like a pretty failure. Big... It does feel like a ridiculous kind of thing to do, just because, like... it's foolish, because you either commit to the football side of it and just you know, roll with it and be relentless, or on the other side, just commit to the academia. You both ways, because then you just look super, super stupid. I do think, though, for bowl season, a lot of these schools would be important, because I know the playoff is probably going to expand, but I love college football, and I love the crazy matchups we get seen in bowl season. I think having Miami, you know, in the Big Ten, and then having them play a Southern school would be really cool whenever it happens. And I think to keep bowl season alive, you do need there to be a significant amount of balance. So that's kind of where I'm at looking on that front. Zach, what time is it? 12:40. Okay. Downs in 20 minutes, man.
Big announcement. I know
our guy,
fans everywhere are so excited.
Our guy, I want to talk about the visit weekend that happened. Zach. Boy. So there was, I don't know what day that was, if someone could help me out on that front, but I have the list of visitors from their big June visit of their top end defensive guys that they wanted. And for some reason, I don't know what went wrong or where it went wrong. Because everyone said this visit was an A. You know, we aced Birmingham, who's super plugged in, who we really respect. We aced it. All the players were talking very, very good. I mean, players are talking big time about the recruitment and about all these prospects coming in. And yet it seems like every big defensive recruit we missed on. So Tackett Curtis was a part of that visit. Well, he ended up at USC, even though Jim Knowles had been recruiting him for 2 years, Zach. 2 years. Like, dating back to when he was at Oklahoma State, this was his number one prospect.
And so this is always a gamble in recruiting when you host a massive recruiting weekend like this, right? Because for a number of reasons. One, you can't give a kid like Caleb Downs the attention you could give him if he was one of three kids on campus, right? That's first and foremost. The head coach, Ryan Day, his schedule on Saturday and Sunday is a train wreck. He's got individual meeting after individual meeting with these kids to the point where he only gets to spend a minimal amount of time with each kid. Whereas if he only has three meetings on the weekend, he gets a longer meeting with each kid. And on top of that, in between meetings, he's out there with all three of them spending time, right? So the head coach's time is the first sacrifice when you bring in this many big time players. And it was June 24th weekend. There was like 13 prospects. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, the vibe, the culture, I guess, of the weekend, the vibe of the weekend can trend either direction and it's fragile because you bring in 13 kids. And a handful of them aren't going to go to Ohio State. They talk amongst themselves. They're hanging out at the hotel. They're doing all this stuff together. And when that vibe starts to go away from Ohio State, you start pulling kids that were leaning towards Ohio State away from Ohio State. Now, the same could be said the other way, right? You get some crazy momentum on a weekend like that, but maybe a couple kids commit. Kids start feeling the momentum going to Ohio State. All of a sudden, you're pulling kids that were leaning elsewhere towards Ohio State. So it is a gamble that Ryan Day made. And obviously, he put all that shit on black and that motherfucker hit red. Just all these kids came in and it was 1 month ago. So the plan from that weekend until today has been a failure. No other way to look at it. I mean, you mentioned it. So look, go through the list. Caleb Downs, right?
Yeah.
Going to probably Bama or Georgia.
It looks like he's going to Bama or Georgia. Troy Bowles is trending towards Georgia. Tackett Curtis, linebacker, going to USC. Jason Moore was on that. We ended up landing him. Thanks to Larry Johnson. Justice Haynes committed to Georgia. John Walker, UCF.
Got beat by UCF.
UCF put us in a locker for John.
Fucking Gus Malzahn and the Golden Knights put the Buckeyes in a locker.
Raul Agari,
I thought I'd never say.
Straight up. Raul Ajari, I believe, Ajari. I don't know how to say his name, but he committed to Miami. That's another linebacker. Elias, he is committed to, I believe, Texas A&M, not Ohio State. That's not happening. We did get Thurman he's committed to Ohio State from Georgia. And then we missed on everybody.
Missed on everybody.
Like they all put us in a locker. And more of the kids from this visit are going to end up at Georgia and Miami than they are at Ohio State. That's concerning.
It's what I just talked about. It backfired, and that happens in recruiting. I mean, it's not always, Ryan, it's not always the coach's fault, because at the same time, had that trended the other direction, and granted, they failed to make it trend that direction. Had that trended the other direction, you might have stole a kid like the linebacker that went to USC. You might have stolen Caleb Downs. Like, you might have pulled those kids back to the Buckeyes. And make no mistake about it, Chris, us talking about this right now, if you look at the history of this show, this is a very positive thing for the Buckeyes, because we talked about Carnell Tate. I mean, we quote unquote talk shit about him, right? I dogged the kid. Kid was never going to come to Ohio State after I talked about him, right? Like, screw Zach Smith. Why do we give him attention? He's hurting us, right? That's what they told me. That's what they tweeted. The kid came to Ohio State, right? We did an whole episode on how Georgia was fumbling the bag coming off the heels of a national championship. The next 4 days, they got four big four-star commitments. So something about this show has a trending effect. So Buckeye fans, have faith. We're talking shit about how bad recruiting is, which only means it's going to get massively better very soon.
Very quickly. Darren Reed was also on that visit. He ended up committing to LSU. Zach, we're missing on kids. We suck. Like, we're the worst or something like that. I think it's hilarious that people dig into this. But Zach, for linebackers, How important are is linebacker numbers for Jim Knowles? Because if he only plays two linebackers in a system, do we worry too much about missing out like 1 year if the cupboards are full? Or do you want to have as many linebackers as possible?
I don't know how you divvy up numbers. Like next class, not this class right now, but next class, Brian Hartline can swing and miss, right? Jim Knowles didn't have that top end production in his room to swing and miss in this class. That being said, we often forget about what happened yesterday, right? Last year was an epic haul of linebackers. I mean, three or four unbelievably highly rated and talented linebackers. So if those kids pan out, missing in this class, you're not going to feel the impact as long as next class is star studded, right? You don't need to sign the best position group class year in, year out. You just have to do it every other year, right? Or you have to get one in each class. Like the top end talent has to be sitting in chairs in that room. I don't give a fuck what year they are, but at a position of need, really not good to swing and miss. The only saving grace he has right now is guys like CJ Hicks, Gabe Powers, and that slew of kids that might turn out to be great players. And if that's the case, two linebackers, three linebackers, that shit doesn't matter. You're playing Wisconsin. We talked about it before. You're playing Wisconsin or Iowa with two tight ends. Your ass is playing three linebackers. I give a fuck what your defensive philosophy is. You put two linebackers on the field, they are going to run the ball down your throat like you're Mia Khalifa, right? It's just what's going to happen. I mean, you brought her up. That's why I was in the forefront of my brain. Yeah, but just saying, like people talk, oh, he's a 4-2-5. He's a 4. No, shut up. What's the personnel? If we got two tight ends, a fullback on the field, he ain't no 4-2-5. No coach in the world is. Now, on the other side of that, Buckeye fans right now are like, that's not true. Tuff Borland covered Devontae Smith. We played eight linebackers against Bama.
Kerry was just out there like, you know what? Let's run it. I got a quick question from our guy, Tyler. Can I trust anybody on the Buckeye beat, 11 Warriors or Buckeye Scoop? Or are they all full of crap?
I mean, 11 Warriors is fucking awful. I know Buckeye Scoop just lost a lot of people. I like Bill Green, though. And whatever Berm and Austin Ward, they've started something. I don't know what it is, really. I saw them on YouTube. Those are the only guys I really trust on the Buckeye beat. Everyone else is like, you know, these nerd guys that are just like hearing rumors and reporting them. And just, you know, they're like girls in high school is what they are. They're girls in high school. And Berm and Austin are two that I think do a great job. And Bill Green. So outside of them, I wouldn't trust anybody. It's fucking recruiting. I mean, there's times where Berm would say something in an article when I was coaching. I'd text him like, bro, that ain't true. And he'd tell me why. And I'd be like, no, someone fed you some bullshit. But he's more tapped in than anyone.
Yeah, definitely feel that. Another question is the gap Michigan talked about just have to do with the fact that they were a senior-laden team? Or was there another real issue?
Toughness was the other issue, but most of it was they were a veteran group of kids. They had some great players. Aiden Hutchinson's a great player. I mean, that's part of it. That experience. I mean, you know, it's like anything else, right? Who do you want to fight? A talented 18-year-old or a 22-year-old Navy SEAL? Fuck that. I'm taking an 18-year-old all day, every day. Like, I don't give a shit if the Navy SEAL's not as talented. Fuck that. I am not fighting a Navy SEAL, right? So you have a talented kid, young kid, going against a veteran, a tough-ass veteran. That was the biggest issue, right? There wasn't a talent gap. Ohio State as a whole is a more talented roster than Michigan. But in that year, Michigan had a much more tougher, much more veteran team, and they caught Ohio State slipping, and they fucked them up. They threw punch after punch. But the gap was, I think the gap, the way I took it, he was speaking of the gap on that day. Not the gap in the program or anything like that, but on that day, there was a gap, and they were surprised by it. And I think a lot of it had to do with what I just said, the toughness of the teams and how Michigan was veterans and Ohio State was young.
Revisiting that game, just wanted to get your kind of initial thoughts on it. You watching it, did you feel it immediately as the game started? Like, wow, Michigan feels like the stronger, older team, though they're pushing them around. Like as a wide receivers coach, I guess I'm asking, when you watch games on TV, do you notice the gap in the trenches initially, or is that something that you kind of see over time?
Well, you could see it initially, right? A team could come out hot, they're you know, fired up. When you really see it, it's late in the game. When late in the game, they are pushing, the line of scrimmage is moving one direction. That's when toughness is coming out. Guys are a little beat up, a little tired. You've been playing a whole fucking football game. And all of a sudden that line starts moving this way.
Yeah.
Every snap it's moving and it's moving. And you're like, holy shit. They are fucking taking our soul right now. Even if they gain 3 yards, you're watching the front seven get pushed around late in the game. And you're like, man, this is not going well. And this is not going to end well.
I really can appreciate kind of from media day, the fact that Michigan kind of embraces this kind of bad boy mentality. They felt like they had like more dog in them during that game. Do you think that's what Ohio State's missing? Like, it feels like there's no players on that team to be a real enforcer on defense. And not that it's always like a really good thing, but sometimes you don't mind a 15-yard penalty here or there if it's kind of in the right place. I just think back at the old teams, like Curtis Graham was like such a dog, man. Like Damon Arnett, such a dog.
I mean, it was all aspects of an ass whooping, right? They were tougher. We all know the cultural issues, the coaching staff issues on defense, the lack of performance on defense. I mean, for anyone that thought that Ohio State was just going to go out and whoop Michigan's ass because they'd done it every other year. That's, you had fan blinders on. You did. CJ Stroud played decent, but he didn't play exceptional. He didn't raise his level of play in that rivalry game like quarterbacks need to do. So I don't know what else. I didn't feel good about that game going into it because of all of that, right? The defense was awful all year. Why the fuck would they become great against a veteran team like that? And a team that was running the shit out of the ball.
Yeah.
Why would we think that?
Well, I think we got a little bit of like a fool's gold because the week before Michigan State, like everything looked really good against Michigan State. I mean, I know Kenneth Walker went down, but Zach, we held them to 7 points. Like
Michigan State had the statistically worst passing defense in the Big Ten, and fucking they were at like 110 or 115. Yeah. Like you knew CJ Stroud was going to throw for 8 billion yards and Ohio State was going to score at will. And when Kenneth Walker, their number one, their best offensive threat they've had maybe ever. I'm trying to think of a better offensive threat. Please name one in the chat if you can think of one. What, Plaxico Burress, maybe? Like, Kenneth Walker was the best offensive threat they've had in since Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And so when he goes down, you're like, oh, this is going to be a bloodbath. Like, they just lost one of their program-changing players, and they suck against the pass. This is probably the best passing offense in the United States. This is going to be a fucking annihilation.
Does that really speak to how big the gap was between Ohio State and everybody else? Because that same Michigan offensive line, defensive line that was pushing us around got absolutely just smoke showed by Georgia. Do you think it would have been that bad against Georgia if Ohio State was there? Do you think the athletes you think that they would have beat them that bad?
So the only difference was they matched up better against Georgia, right? To an extent. Georgia's offense wasn't as good as Michigan's offense in some respects, but Georgia's defense was outstanding and Ohio State's offense was outstanding. So it would have been a similar game, I think. But Georgia was just so good on defense. So good.
Yeah. And it did feel like Michigan didn't quite have the athletes on the outside to really get that thing going. I do wonder. Now, additionally, with Michigan, I know they had a good recruiting class last year. This year seems kind of down. Do you think if they have another good season, do you trust Harbaugh to finally roll into success? Because stay with me, because they got 5-star Donovan Edwards. He's going into sophomore year. You got the 5-star, you know, quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, or maybe he finishes a high 4-star. Like, that's a really talented duo. Do you think that they could potentially entice more people to go play with them, or you think it's kind of over once they get steamrolled by Ohio State, if they get steamrolled by Ohio State?
But it's over already. The game's not over. I mean, I really like all those players you mentioned. I think Andrell Anthony's a great player. Blake Corum. I think they have some really, really, really good players. This is not going to be a cakewalk win for Ohio State. But Jim Harbaugh is not getting the job done in recruiting. What do you want? More momentum? Is that what you're looking for? Momentum.
Yeah, I was just maybe thinking, okay, like if these guys go out there,
this team is not going to win the national championship right now. They don't have the roster to do it. So what more do you want? They beat Ohio State handedly, won the Big Ten, made the college football playoffs. That they're not going to elevate that in 2022. There's no chance. So the only thing you're asking me is like, will Jim Harbaugh change who he is and not fuck it up? And the answer is like, based on what? Right? That's like saying a slow kid one day in a game, put him in at receiver. Today he might just run a 10 flat. It's like, what? Why the fuck would you think that? The kid's running a 12 flat his whole life.
I see your guy Desmond Howard thinks that Michigan has one of the best receiver rooms in the country. It's really incredible. I want to ask just straight up.
Desmond Howard's IQ is really incredible. I mean, the fact that that guy can be on TV, I would love, here's my challenge to Desmond. Let's do an IQ test. Him and I would love to see what his IQ is. He's got to be close to retarded.
God damn it.
He's got to be. Well, that's not a bad word. That is on the scale. Retardation. That's one of them. He's got to be down there close to it. Well, it's not, I don't care if that's politically correct. Like that is all I've had them. Like one of the classifications an IQ is retardation.
You're good. No. You're.
It is. I don't care. I wasn't using the hard R word, like vulgar. I'm saying that is one of the classifications, Chris.
Yeah. No. I got you. I just wasn't expecting.
Plus, I can't get canceled.
Yeah. I was just expecting that to come out of your mouth. I want to address this Anthony Hutt comment because we want to show love to our Michigan brethren as well as our Ohio State fans. Anthony, welcome to the chat, the Menace chat. Hopefully, Menace Army treats you nice and politely. Bold prediction. Ryan Day will go to the NFL, the Chiefs. What happened? Okay, whatever. After going 11-1 this year, do the Chiefs have a head coaching job open?
No, but Andy Reid could retire. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibilities. If Ryan Day, here's the thing. I don't think Ryan Day ever leaves. I don't think he leaves, period. That's what I believe would happen. It would not shock me if one day he did. But in my opinion, he will be at Ohio State for the longevity of his career. Unless he has a Nick Saban-esque run and just feels like he wants to try it at the NFL level, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I think Ryan Day, in his mind, what his career is going to be, right? But if he wins a national championship, he won't leave before that happens, right? Unless he gets fired. That he's going to win a national championship or get fired. That's the two things that will happen. One of those will happen. But if he wins one, he can't even predict what he will envision his career being. And if the Chiefs job came open with Patrick fucking Mahomes and he really wanted to make the jump at some point,
that'd be the time.
Would he get that opportunity again? I don't know. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Do you think there'll be on the Chiefs real quick? Do you think there'll be NFL pressure for them to hire the Bellamy cat, like the black OC for them? There's been pressure. Like people have been pushing.
Yeah, there's pressure everywhere. I mean, ultimately if there's an organization that will show you if Eric Bieniemy should get a head coaching job, it's the Chiefs if that job comes open, right? Because they know him better than anyone. These other organizations, they're just going off of reputation, you know, pressure to hire the one of the top minority coaches in the NFL. Like that's what they go off of. The Chiefs, all those fucking guys, they're in meetings with him, right? They know how much input he has on offense. Andy Reid's offense, by the way, they know he doesn't call plays, but he might be able to. They know better than anyone. Mm-hmm. So if Andy Reid retires and they don't hire him, I think all the other teams get a pass. Like, damn, they didn't even hire him and they know him.
Yeah. Facts. Do you think Ryan Day's the first call if a team with a quarterback, you know, that job opens up? Like if the Chiefs job opens up, is Ryan Day their first call? Yeah, like to me, it would have to be.
You can't even predict that. Well, I don't even know his name. The fucking guy they hired at the Dolphins. Like Jesus Christ, how that guy ever became a football coach, let alone a head football coach anywhere. And on top of that, a head coach in the NFL is absolutely mind blowing to me. So it's the NFL. I have no idea. Their first phone call might be to some lawyer in Kansas City that expressed interest and has a search firm. Who knows? That league is so fucked up. But yes, I think Ryan Day will be on a short list for most teams. Yes.
Okay. It doesn't Buddy class. Doesn't Buddy say, what does he say? He's biracial. That's what he is. He said he's black.
He's like the NFL Sean King. So they had a white mom, looked white, but I'm black. Gotcha.
They put him on the NFL minorities list, man. I couldn't believe it. Look at him, Zach.
Like Elizabeth Warren. He's an Indian. I'm sorry, Native American. Oh, fuck,
damn it. You, man, I have a job, Zach. I can't be.
I saw you put it on there, the disclaimer, right? Like views that are said on this show are copyright of Menace of Sports and in no way reflect my values.
Right. Someone said is there a tweet up saying that Downs is going to Bama? Did the foundation put something up about that?
No idea.
That's what somebody said in the chat. I'm trying to find it. I was like, oh, holy.
I follow recruiting about as much as my four-year-old.
That's not true. Zach's very kind. Whenever I ask him to ask a coach where a kid's going to school, he always asks. The foundation just leaked on Twitter that Downs is going to Bama. Man, I mean, it's funny because like
fuck you mean, Chris? I said it yesterday. Kiss my ass. Dude. You know how this shit is. Watch that kid go to Ohio State and the foundation people are going to be like, but Zach said on the show he was going to Bama.
Guys, Zach is a real life troll, man. Okay, real he life. Hasn't said yet. He's walking to the table.
Oh shit, it's about to happen.
Wait, yeah, what's it on? What's it on? Let me go. Let me hop on. I feel bad for all the podcast listeners. Hey, shout out to all the podcast listeners. You guys have been doing a great job. You have us trending in the top 200 sports podcasts in the world. We really do appreciate that, and we do appreciate the good old five-star reviews. Guys, we Menace Army, we do have a good amount of Michigan fans in the chat. So do me a favor, for me and me only, please say something nice to our guy Anthony and all the other Michigan fans in here. Let them know how Ohio State fans are. Well, actually, not Ohio State fans. We are Menace Army. We do not, not stand with one team. Say something nice, please.
Chris, hold on. I got to throw this out there because I'm on the verge of hitting the cancellation trio, and I saw it in the chat. They said, "Oh my God!" He said, "Indian, just please don't say midget." And I got to tell you a story that I went to a midget wrestling event one time, and it was the funniest shit I've ever been to. It was, oh my God! And then if you've never read the book, I hope they serve beer in hell. Have you heard of it, Chris?
No.
I'm ordering it on Amazon for you today. It's right, this absolute degenerate just telling stories about his life. And he had like a conference in Las Vegas, and he got on a plane and four midgets walked on with him. And he was like, "What the fuck is going on?" Like, what? And he said they got off that next elevator and there was hundreds. And there was a sign for like a little people convention. And he was texting all his friends like, "Holy shit, I just hit the jackpot."
That is great ridiculous. Book.
Highly recommend.
All right, I can't name him. One of my employees, as we pulled the Caleb Downs thing, one of my employees came in my office the other day. He was talking about, so I work at a radio station. I run the radio station. I have like four employees under me that are all my day part jocks. He came in and he said, "Chris, when I was, you know, at this station, I did this thing. I would spank their birthdays to Metallica songs." So people would call and be like, "It's my birthday." And he'd be like, "All right, do you want a spanking?" And then he would give the address of the studio and they would come. He said, "One night, this girl called. She said she sounded real hot." He was like, "All right, like, come to the studio and get a spanking." She comes, knocks, calls. I'm here, knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell. He goes out. He looks through the people and doesn't see anything. And he's like, "Oh, okay, like, someone's fucking with me." Knocks on the door again, looks through the hole again. He's like, "Someone's fucking with me." So he opens the door like he's mad that someone's, you know, fucking with him. They think he's ding-dong ditching. It's just a little person just sitting on the ground. He said, "Oh, it's your birthday." He picked her up, brought her in the studio. She said she had a skirt on, popped her on his lap, pulled her skirt up, and did the Metallica song, like just on her bare ass into the microphone.
What is going on right now?
he asked if he could do a promo like that at my station. Zach, you know what I said?
Yes.
Absolutely not. No.
So, Chris, I don't know if you're watching right now. Caleb Downs has his commitment video playing on the big screen. It looks like at his high school, Buckeyes, Notre Dame, Georgia, and Alabama wristbands. We are going to find out soon that Caleb Downs is going to Alabama.
We love it. Is he doing a video and an announcement? Or is
He was at the microphone talking, and then he said they're rolling the video of, you know, you got to have some post-production media company put together a video nowadays. You can't just fucking say, "I want to go to Alabama." You got to do all this bullshit, but he's sweating. So he worked hard one time, or they poured water on him. One of the two. Oh, he's doing some punches. If you ever double hand punch like that playing DB, you're fucked. So tell that trainer he's an idiot, but it's all right. He's talented.
No, he's super talented. We're going to talk about the kind of player he is coming up here in a sec as well.
Oh, that was just a I don't know what the fuck that was.
It was just a highlight. There you go.
Where will he go? Ohio State hat in front of him. Georgia to his left. There is no Alabama hat in sight right now. We might have a... Oh, we thank God. Always got to thank God first.
This is ridiculous.
Thank everybody that came out. He just stole the script. He's thanking God again.
Got to thank the man twice. God is
such a big player in this.
You got to thank the man twice.
Oh, he's thanking mama. Oh, this is cool, though. Oh, he's getting emotional talking about his mom. That's really cool.
I love it.
Talking about his dad. Hey, this kid's got classy. You can tell right now. Oh, I like this kid. I hope he's a Buckeye.
Look, this kid just flips Zach.
No, I liked him as a player. Yeah. I told you that on film. Here we go. It's coming. Oh, his buddy's putting together a TikTok while he does it or something. He's got a phone up.
We love TikTok.
Alabama is all the way on the end. I mean, he can't even reach the Alabama hat. It's as far away. It's further away than the North Carolina hat right now. He's thanking his coach. See, this is here we go. What do you think right now? This is the ultimate troll job. Ohio State is right in front of him. Bama is out of reach. Which you know hat what? Is he going to?
Huh? If I were the kid, I would do this on my own YouTube channel so I could get the revenue for it.
Absolutely.
Like run a stream, get the chats going.
Don't let my son be a big-time recruit. He will be branded.
ESPN will be forced to cover you, bro. That'd be crazy. That'd be like the ultimate fuck you.
Here you go. Oh, he's looking. There's the Bama hat. Picks the Bama hat up. Oh, he puts it down. Oh, he put the Bama hat down.
The Bama hat's on the ground.
Oh, he's playing games. Oh, he's picking a Georgia hat up. Oh, I put a different Alabama hat on. Oh, man, he got me. Oh, man, now you can't get the hat on.
Boo.
Rammer, jammer, yellow hammer. Give him hell, Alabama.
Boo.
Predictable.
The other Bama hat was so much cooler, though.
Yeah.
Like the first one
you know what? Good for him. As I said, that's where I would send my son if he was a safety right now with the way everything's going anyways. I did want to mention, I'm going to do a breakdown on his video, I think. Now he went to Bama like I thought he was going to. We might not, but we'll see. Chris and I will talk about it. But I did want to tell you this. Player comparison. I know, guys, people love player comparisons. When I watched his film, he reminded me a ton of Von Bell. Right? Lacks top-end speed a little bit. Right? Not just the most explosive playmaker ever. But phenomenal football player, phenomenal bendability, right? He bends well, tackles well, he plays the ball well, has good ball skills. I think this kid's going to be a really good player and could develop into an absolute stud. But he just reminds me a lot of Von Bell when I watched his tape earlier today. So I wanted to throw that out there
for you,
Chris.
Same state and everything, man. So it makes a lot of sense.
Ohio State loses another one. Damn it, Buckeye Nation.
It's locker season, boys.
Locker season.
Get in that locker, damn it.
Slammed in the locker. We'll get you at lunch. Fuck off.
Oh, man.
Call the janitor. Oh, that's all. I hope that's all we got, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's all we got. It's a commitment style day. You know, try to get us to one.
So and here comes the Buckeye fan. We didn't want him anyway. He's overrated.
The kid's a fucking baller.
He's a stud. Stud. Yeah. Von Bell was stud, so I hope that message gets across. There's going to be someone that's like, Zach Smith said he wasn't a good player. I think he's a great player, huge get for Alabama. But appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed to this video right now, like the video, comment. I don't know, whatever the fuck you want to comment. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah, appreciate everybody.
300 comments in this video. There's 300 of you right now. Wait till it ends and go comment for me right now, please. And if you do, he might flip.
400, but whatever. 400 people in a video right now. Comment. Whatever you want, as soon as I hit end right here. Appreciate everybody. Menace out.